Two big wins, a big weekend for the Boston Celtics, and I'm talking about them right now on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales, I host this show, and I'm thanking you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're at the gym, at home, at work, in the shower. I'm glad that you're spending just a little bit of your day slash night slash whatever with me. I host the show Monday through Friday, so if you're new, it's going to be a Monday through Friday daily podcast. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. You can subscribe at bostonsportsjournal.com. Use the promo code Corrales. You get $5 off an annual subscription. That works out to be less than $3 a month. I think that's a good deal. Also, please buy my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. It's now available at booksellers everywhere. The Celtics, big win over the Washington Wizards on Sunday night. 111-110. Thank you, Jason Tatum, for your heroics in this one. I'll also talk briefly a little bit about the Celtics beating the Indiana Pacers the other night. They finished off a nice win there and beat the Pacers without basically Tatum or Brown. They won that game 118-112. That was all Kemba Walker. But mostly we're reacting to the last second win over the Washington Wizards. A game I thought they were going to lose. In fact, maybe I won the game for the Boston Celtics, because as I was writing, I decided with about 45 seconds to go and them down, what was it, 5? I started writing my little blurb on Boston Sports Journal that I was going to lament the first quarter and say, oh, the Celtics missed a golden opportunity. I wrote something like, the Celtics missed a chance, came back to bite them as the Wizards closed them out, blah, blah, blah. I started writing that the Celtics had lost. And lo and behold, the Celtics turned it around and they didn't lose. So I'm not going to say I'm a hero, but you can if you want. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off your next order. We'll do the standard post-game podcast formula. The good in segment one, the bad in segment two, segment three, the big storyline. And I'm going to pick Jason Tatum and how he closed out the Wizards as my big thing that I want to talk about. I also wrote about it on BostonSportsJournal.com. So that's going to be segment three. Let's start here. Let's get through it. The good. They won two games, two much needed wins in two very different circumstances. And they were both difficult games, difficult wins. Brad Stevens said before the Wizards game, we need to do things that are difficult. We need to win games that are difficult. And damn it, they did that. On Friday, they beat the Pacers 118-112, like I said. And that's all because Kemba Walker was awesome and the bench contributed, which they don't always do. And then they come out against the Wizards. Bradley Beal drops 46, takes a million free throws, and they blow it. The Celtics had leads in this game. What was their biggest lead? It was like 12, 11. And then in the third quarter, things started to fall apart. Fourth quarter, they looked as bad as they ever did at the beginning of the fourth quarter, but they turned it around and they won. That was a game that earlier this season, they just don't last week they don't win that. You know what I mean? And that's the important thing here. The Celtics didn't just pack it in. That the Celtics didn't just say, well, you know, this is lost. It's all over. That even though on the outside there's all this noise, the Celtics didn't just say, whew, boy, well, we suck. All right, forget it. They didn't get on each other. They're not sniping at one another. They're not like, if you look at some of the comments coming out of, say, the Denver Nuggets, for example, the Denver Nuggets, you get little snipes at one another. Somebody says something, and you're like, huh, is he calling out his teammate when he says that? Huh, why are they saying this? That sounds very harsh. Celtics aren't doing that. There's no kind of backstabbing or anything like that. In fact, after Friday's win, Jeff Teague said, you know, the losses brought us closer. The losses bring us closer than the wins do. And it's kind of interesting. Kemba kind of confirmed that after this game against Washington. They have stuck together, which is very, very good. There's a lot of noise around them, and they kind of circle the wagons. They stuck together. They won that game on Friday, partly because they stuck together. They won this game on Sunday for the same reasons, that they're all actually actively trying to win games. And as much as they look bad from time to time, they are still actually actively trying to win games. And it's nice to see them get rewarded for that. So it's good to see them on a night where on Friday, Tatum and Brown looked absolutely gassed. They found a way to win on a night like Sunday night when it looked like they had blown it for sure, that they come back and win this. Also good, Kemba Walker looks good. And yeah, I'll take a little bit of a victory lap here because a lot of people want to run Kemba out of town because he had a bad restart to the season. Like I said, be patient. Well, guess what? He's starting to look a little bit better now, isn't he? Friday night, 21 points, Sunday night, 21 points, 7 of 17 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, 4 of 5 from the line, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. Friday night, 32 points, 10 of 19, 4 of 10 from 3, 8 of 8 from the line, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. So 53 points over his last couple of games. That he's looking a lot more like himself. He's looking a lot more like a guy who can go out there and get some buckets. And he's playing with a little bit more confidence, it seems. He's not forcing things. He's not overly searching for his offense. He just looks good. On Sunday night against Washington, the game changed. The tenor of the game, the feel of the game changed when Kemba came back in. Because part of what was falling apart was Peyton Pritchard, who's been struggling lately. Although he does do like things. It's the Peyton Pritchard does do things and does some of the dirty work, but he, you know, overall I think he's been struggling a bit lately. But Peyton Pritchard being in the game was part of when things started to look bad. He had made some bad mistakes. He gets caught up sometimes. I think he over dribbles and then he kind of gets trapped. Then Kemba comes back in. It's like, oh, okay, here we go. We're going to pick things up now. So Kemba for sure. In fact, Kemba and Daniel Tice have a nice little chemistry going. Part of what made Kemba look good in this game, and this is an underrated stretch against the Wizards. Daniel Tice comes in. The Celtics, he comes in with Kemba. Celtics are down 87-81 all of a sudden in the fourth quarter. And it looks like, oh boy, here we go again. Then it's Kemba draws two, kick it to Tice. Kemba draws two, kick it to Tice. Two, three, four times. Tice was 4-4 in the fourth quarter. All four of those came in a bunch. Three of them came in a row. All of them were assisted by Kemba Walker. So it went from 87-81 to 87 all all because of Daniel Theis hitting these mid-range shots, all because Kemba drew double teams and drew the attention of the defense and kicked it over to Theis, who was open and buried those open shots. Those were important, important shots. And the Celtics don't have a chance down the stretch if Daniel Theis doesn't come back and tie this game for the Celtics. Another underrated part of this game is the ultimate make-miss league. Like, this is just, you know, Semi Ojeleye gets the ball, 2 minutes left. The Celtics are down six. Okay, they'd been down eight with 2:56 to go. Javonte Green hits a shot, makes it a six-point game. All right, now Semi Ojeleye gets the ball, right corner, hits a three-pointer. He'd been 0 of 3 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3 to that point. He hits that jumper, okay? Makes it 106-103. Davis Bertans, who was 5 of 8 from 3, comes down right side above the break. Clean look. Misses. Just misses. Sometimes you miss. The Celtics get it back. Tatum comes down, hits a fadeaway. It's a one-point game. Now, instead of what the statistics in the flow of this game tells you, at 106-100, if Ojeleye misses that shot and Bertans hits his shot, it now goes from a three-point game. Instead of a three-point game, it's a nine-point lead. Make-miss league. Instead of Tatum getting a rebound, coming down and hitting a fadeaway to cut the lead to one, the Celtics are pulling the ball out of the net, down nine with a minute 45 to go. Much tougher road. But make-miss league. Ojeleye made it. Bertans missed it, and now we're off to the races. It keeps things just close enough for Tatum to do what he did. And Tatum, down the stretch, hits. He goes for 11 points, all in the last 5:45, I think it was, or something along those lines. When did he hit that shot? 5:48. Tatum hits a three-pointer to start his 11 points all scored after that point, 5:48 mark. Tatum, hero. And not just, and I'm going to talk about him in the third segment, but not only does Tatum get, he hits a three, he hits a fadeaway, and then he starts attacking. He goes layup, layup, layup to close the game. But the best part is he hits a layup, which they basically conceded. Then a tough layup, which causes him to fall and slide along the baseline. Then the Wizards do not take a timeout. Beal gets the ball at that spot where Tatum fell. So that's still a wet spot on the floor. Beal slips and falls, and his foot goes out of bounds. Turnover, Celtics ball. So Tatum's sweat is what caused the turnover. So give Tatum a steal for that play on top of that, because it was Tatum's wet spot on the floor that caused that turnover. Just a wild, as Beal said after the game, is the goofiest shit I've ever seen. Then Tatum comes out after that, next possession, after the turnover, layup. Celtics get the lead. But good defense. Yes, Beal slipped. Yes, Beal slipped, but also good defense by the Celtics in that scenario to not just go and foul. Like, they understood time, score, situation. It's an 8-second call to get the ball over half court. So after Tatum hits that layup, it's 15 seconds on the clock. Now, Beal turns it over at 12.4, so there's plenty of time. But if the Celtics are looking, they have 15 seconds to play with. You trap Beal down on that baseline. As you see from the clock, when he slips and falls, it's 12.4. So they've already wasted almost 3 seconds at that spot, and he's trapped. Even if he doesn't fall, okay? Where does he get that ball? Where's that next set of defense played? Celtics are in a good spot to maybe get an 8-second violation. So good recognition by the Celtics in that scenario. Good fourth quarter execution. Then after the Celtics, after Tatum gives the Celtics the lead, great, great, great fourth quarter recognition there as well. End of game recognition. Understanding what the, I tweeted it out. I retweeted somebody who did a great job breaking down that final play. Recognizing what Washington was going to do. Recognizing that they were running a certain play. The coaches on the sidelines are saying, this is what Beal is going to do. Brad Stevens on the sidelines saying, don't switch. Don't switch, because that's what they want you to do. They're setting multiple picks to get you to switch so Beal can take advantage of that. The guys on the floor communicating to one another that what they're going to do, from the coaches to the players. Great, great, great execution down the stretch there on that final play. Then Tatum and Semi Ojeleye trap Beal, and Beal still, because he's Bradley freaking Beal, gets a good look. I thought that ball was going in. Like, he almost won that game anyway. So just great, great, great execution in those situations. Great execution. Something we haven't seen from the Celtics. Quickly, before I wrap up the good, got to say the Celtics did a decent job with their zone. They kept Russell Westbrook in check. Westbrook has been attacking the rim a lot. He did not do anything. He was basically invisible. I know he finished with like 21 points or something like that, 24, but it didn't feel like he had a 24-point night. In fact, he missed a bunch of threes down the stretch. He hit one, but his three-point shooting kind of helped the Celtics get back into this as well. And I've got it because I'm just being fair. I got to shout out Jeff Teague. Past couple games, he's been decent. Okay? I've been hard on Jeff Teague. He's been decent the past couple of games. I'm going to be fair to him. You know, still a couple of mistakes here and there, but he's playing over the last two games a more like you would expect a Jeff Teague on a veteran minimum deal to play. Okay? That's the best thing I can tell you. Up next, some of the bad. Fouling still a problem. Jaylen Brown, his knee. I don't like that. So I'm going to talk about that stuff next. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guy that helped you sleep or focus or act or just be better? There is. And if you've got 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed? There's a 3-minute SOS meditation on Headspace for you. Do you need help falling asleep? I feel like we all do. Headspace has wind-down sessions that their members swear by. I've used them for sure. Sometimes when you go to bed and the world is just crazy around you, your brain doesn't shut off. But you get one of these wind down sessions from Headspace and it kind of talks you through calming down, talks you through reducing your stress, talks you through kind of shutting off the outside noise. And that's a very important thing. Going to bed, sleep is so important. If you're not getting sleep, then a lot of things are going to just start to trickle down and go worse, worse, worse for you. So sleep is one of the most important things you can do for your health, and Headspace can help you with your sleep. You can boost your focus and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier. And Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. BetOnline is your fastest, easiest way to bet on all sports action. It could be NBA, college basketball, NHL, or a lot of international sports. Or if you're over there, it's not international to you. You know what I mean. Sports around the world, it's all on BetOnline. They even cover awards, TV shows, reality TV. You can bet on anything on BetOnline. Real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine. In-game betting for the NBA. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So whatever it is, it's free money. You deposit $500, you get a $250 welcome bonus. That's how this works. 50% of your deposit into your account as a welcome bonus. With the promo code LOCKEDON, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Hey, imagine a podcast that covers all of sports like I'm covering the Boston Celtics. Well, it exists. It's called Locked On Today. It's a new show here on the Locked On Podcast Network, hosted by Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes, all the big stories. So subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Let's now touch on some of the bad from the Wizards game this weekend and other stuff here in the Celtics world. First bad thing, fouling. Still, the fouling. My God, the fouling. It is still problematic. And the Celtics did a great job in not fouling as much in the second half. But in the first half of this game, the Celtics gave the Wizards 20 free throws. 20 free throws. Now, amazingly, the Celtics, because they got into the penalty with almost 8 minutes to go in the second quarter, managed to also get their own 20 free throws. So it was kind of balanced out, although the Celtics were 13 of 20 and the Wizards were 16 of 20. But the free throws were the only reason why the Wizards were even in this game at all. The first period, this is going to get forgotten in everything, and maybe it should be forgotten, but the first period, the Boston Celtics were just brutal. They had opportunities to take a big lead here. The Wizards in the first quarter shot 6 of 17 from the field. They were 14 of 17 from the line. They scored 28 points overall, so half of their points came from the line. That's as bad as it gets. I thought, and I was telling people at the game, I'm like, this is going to be where the Celtics blow this game, because the Celtics weren't able to take advantage of the Wizards shooting 35%, the Wizards turning the ball over 5 times in that quarter. The Celtics shot 42%, 11 of 26 from the field in that first quarter, but they just could never quite pull away. They won the quarter 33-28. They should have won that quarter 33-18. You know? That, like, the fact that they kept fouling, dumb fouls. I tweeted out the numbers, and a few people came back at me with, you know, oh, these refs, and oh, it's all rigged, and all blah, 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 blah. Like, no, they were not phantom calls. The Celtics were fouling because they were playing poorly, and they play, now they're tired, I get it. They played lazily. There's going to be stretches where that happens. Every team has a game where, yeah, they put the other team into the bonus with 8 minutes to go, and it's a parade of free throws, and you're like, ah, geez, this is less than ideal. But the Celtics continue to defend and or try to defend, and they foul, which makes the ending of the game all that much more impressive because they were able to defend without fouling. But just going, I'm ping-ponging back and forth between points here. The fact that they're able to do that shows that when they're when they have that energy, they can do it. You know, it's like the, I forget what game it was because they all just blend together. But the Celtics have had moments where, like, even the Dallas game, they play like crap the whole way, and then all of a sudden they find it. They try. They start moving. They start cutting. They start defending. They start rotating. All of that stuff. And it's because, I don't know, I think it's because they're tired. And a lot of it's just, we're just going to, I'm going to do this at like 70%, and hopefully that's good enough to get by. And then when it's not good enough to get by, they take that reserved energy and say, all right, you get 5 minutes out of me at 100%. That's all I got. And then they look great. Now, it cost them against Dallas because Luka is Luka, and he hit a couple of shots. But like that's where I think this comes from. Because they foul like crazy in the first half, and then it's fine. Then in the fourth quarter they defend harder, they're much more active, and no fouls. So hopefully the Celtics can rectify this just by getting some rest. And just as a side note, I don't know what's happening with the Toronto Raptors, but the Celtics are scheduled to play the Raptors in the final game before the All-Star break. So they play Tuesday against the Clippers and the Raptors Thursday. The Raptors just had a game postponed a couple games ago. Six coaches, including Nick Nurse, weren't on the sidelines because of COVID and contact tracing. There are positive results in the Raptors roster. So it's March 1st now, and that game is March 4th. I wonder if the Celtics are going to even play that game. That would not be such a bad thing if the Celtics just get an extra couple of days. I know there's an All-Star game on the 7th, but if the Celtics can get 4 days off before that All-Star game, then I feel a little bit better about Tatum and Brown going there, because then they'll have three days off after that before playing Brooklyn, and then 2 days off after that. A little bit of rest there, but hopefully with that bit of rest that the Celtics can fix some of that fouling. The third quarter in this game was also very, very bad. The third quarter in this game was just a putrid display of grossness. The Celtics shot 7 of 21 in that third quarter. The Wizards shot 9 of 23, so both teams sucked. The Wizards missed all 8 of their threes. The Celtics turned it over 4 times in that quarter. Only 2 for the Wizards. It's not bad, but that was a quarter that was just, I mean, the Wizards won that quarter 21-19. So let's never talk about that third quarter again. Jaylen Brown's knee, I'm going to put that down in the bad section. His knee flared up. Maybe that was just a way for them to say he's going to take this game off. But also, I'm not liking the way this is shaping up. I'm really not liking the way this is shaping up, because it just feels so eerily similar to last year. Jaylen Brown missing some time here with a knee. I know it's tendonitis. It's not Kemba Walker's knee thing. Just because they're both knees doesn't mean it's the same injury. So, but I still don't like Jaylen Brown missing time with the sore knee, but then still apparently, as we think right now, going to the All-Star game, which is in his home. He's from Atlanta. So, of course, he wants to play. But I don't know, man. It just doesn't feel right. I'm afraid that something's going to come out of that. That this is an opportunity to rest it a little bit. But I don't know. I'll take the medical staff's word for it. I hope that it works. But just put me down as slightly pessimistic about this entire plan, and I'm just hoping it works out in the end. Okay, I'm just gonna say that. And then for that, on the same note, Jason Tatum says he's gonna take part. He thinks he's gonna take part in either the skills competition or the 3-point shootout. I don't want that either. Just let somebody else do it, man. Stay off your feet, buddy. Stay off your feet. He got hung up on the rim against the Pacers. Got past, God, that was so bad. Got past the defender, gets into the, I think he got past Miles Turner, gets to the rim, goes up, rises up to dunk, and then all of a sudden, poof, gets stuffed by the rim. Didn't have any legs. Now, he dunked on Robin Lopez in this Wizards game, which was nice, and he joked about it afterwards, said I had to make up for it. But still, any rest that these guys can get, please don't take part in this other stuff. I guess if I had to pick one, it's 3-point shootout because, you know, you're just shooting and maybe that'll help get that 3-pointer, that 3-point stroke back because he's been struggling a little bit with it lately. But again, I'm just not thrilled. I'm not thrilled about that. I'm not thrilled with any of the All-Star Game stuff anyway. No one should be at the All-Star Game right now. No one should be playing on Sunday. No one. Speaking of Tatum, I saw something in this game that I'm hoping the next time the Celtics watch film, which might be around the same time you're listening to the show, I hope that this gets emphasized. So I'm going to talk about that next. Grab a Built Bar. Maybe these guys should get a couple of Built Bars. It's going to help them in their recovery. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. There are 18 flavors. They're all great. There are some that come without nuts. They do not include nuts. So if you've got a nut allergy, no problem. They're all covered in chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're delicious. If you're health conscious, no problem. That's what the whole point of this is. They're high protein, high fiber, but low calorie and low sugar. So if you're on a keto diet, go for it. No problem. There's a cookies and cream. Now, if I gave you a bar that said cookies and cream, you're going to be like, well, this is crazy. This doesn't fit. This is going to kill my workout. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs. That's great. For a protein bar, that's a great flavor profile. It's a great nutritional value. So check them out. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON20. LOCKEDON20 will get you 20% off your next order. So doesn't matter if you use LOCKEDON20 when you buy your next box, when you buy a box after that, or 4 boxes after that. Every time you use it, LOCKEDON20, you're going to get 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts or follow us on Spotify.
Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, how much do you really know about these potential future NBA stars? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. So, Jason Tatum, in the closing moments of this game, the final 43 seconds, scored 6 points and did so by attacking. I said before that Jason Tatum scored 11 points in less than 6 minutes. 43 seconds to go, and it's 110-105. Tatum gets past the defenders at the top. Russell Westbrook just doesn't pay him any attention. They basically concede a layup. It's 43 seconds to go. The Celtics are now down 3. They get the quick bucket. They come down. defend and get a Russell Westbrook three-pointer. Great. Timeout. Now Tatum gets the ball. They drop one of the old Kyrie Irving plays where Tatum in the Kyrie Irving role starts in the backcourt. The ball gets inbounded to the big, who then turns and basically waits for Jason Tatum, who's now running straight at him, to shed his defender somehow. And Tatum jukes. He's got Bradley Beal on him. Jukes left. Beal bites on it. He goes right. Beal recovers. Robin Lopez comes over. Now, Tatum gets the ball. He kind of hesitates at the three-point line. He has an option. Shoot the three or drive. Now, again, the Celtics are down three. Tatum loves to shoot threes. Tatum loves to be a hero. Taking that three in that situation, I could have totally seen that. That would have been a very Jason Tatum thing to do. But instead, he recognizes that with Robin Lopez, who was guarding Tice, coming on over, seeing Jason Tatum open at the three-point line, he's like, oh, shit. Comes running over. Beal's running over. Tatum says, this lane's open. If Rolo is right there, then I got a lane, buddy. So he drives. Now there's a contest. Two guys converge on him. And he manages to, like, up and under, switch to the left hand, puts it in beautifully. I mean, what a gorgeous layup this is. And now this is where he slides and the floor gets wet and Bradley Beal falls on it. So they get the turnover and they get the ball again. And he gets the ball on the left side of the floor, has Beal on his back. He recognizes, because he knows Bradley Beal, he spins, shakes Beal. Rui Hachimura comes over, no problem. Tatum up, under again, slips kind of past Hachimura in the air, lays it up over the front of the rim nicely, again, falling, flailing, ass over tea kettle. Just beautiful, attacking, two fabulous finishes at the rim. Amazing finishes at the rim. Body control. Focus. Decisiveness. As I wrote on Boston Sports Journal, those are the plays. Those are the plays that make you say, damn, that kid is a star. That kid's a superstar. Those are superstar plays. Those are the plays that the guy who's going to carry you to the finals makes in those situations. Those are the plays that the guy you're paying max money to makes in those situations. That right there. And I don't want to give away my whole column. I'd like to say that I wrote it a little more elegantly. So I hope you go read it as a companion to what I'm saying here at Boston Sports Journal. But Tatum has this kind of casualness to him in general. And he's like, you know, I can take you off the dribble. I can sidestep you. At any time I want, I can get a shot off. Like, Tatum can always get a shot off that has a chance to go in because he can fade. He's got the super long arms. He can get that shot up. He's got a nice high release. He's impossible to block. Like, doesn't matter who you've got on him. You know, if Giannis, he could be posting up Giannis. He's going to be able to take a step, fade away, and get a shot up over Giannis, over anybody. Rudy Gobert. Now, you can say, does he want that shot? Whatever. He can get a shot off, is my point. But in these moments, what made these moments so wonderful and so tantalizing in a lot of ways, because he didn't have time to dribble, 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 jab step, jab step, figure out what he wants to do. He just read the situation and he did it. And what was that game? I think it was the New Orleans game. It was the New Orleans game, the second quarter of the New Orleans game, where I said, man, Tatum is decisive. When Tatum is decisive, if you could ever describe Tatum as being decisive, that means he's having an awesome game. Because Tatum, when he gets the ball and just does something, gets the ball, sees where the defender is, okay, you see that I'm getting a screen here, and I know how you've been playing it, so watch me inside out dribble you, because I know you're going to bite on that, and then I'm going to shoot this three. Like, he knows instinctively, boom, go. That's my play. The moves that he made. Now, you can throw away the that first layup if you want, because it was basically the Wizards conceding the layup. No threes. If you're going to take the two, fine. But the other two, they weren't trying to give Tatum those layups. They did everything they could to take away those layups. Tatum got them anyway. That stuff is what they need Tatum to do all the time. Now, he's not always going to do it, but when I say all the time, I mean like as often as possible. That stuff that we saw at the end of this game, that get the ball, make a move. If you recognize a situation, it demands a drive, then you drive. If you can find your way to finish, then you go finish. And he didn't have time to like turn around and complain about all the not getting a foul. He just needed to defend right away. So he wasn't even worried about that. He just got up and defended. These are the things that I hope that when they get into the film session, because, you know, they're going to have a film session on Monday. You know, at some point they're going to be looking at that. I hope somebody, one of the coaches, looks at that and is like, hey, you know what? You got the ball. You moved before anybody else can react to you. You went by two guys, and now everyone else has to react to you. Look at how this reaction happened. Now, in this situation, of course, you're going to try to finish. But, you know, if you can get the ball and be decisive like that and not let defenders react, and you give them the time to react and let the – you had two guys coming at you. If you kind of just stand there and then let the other guy recover and not be in rotation, then you're doing them a favor. If you get the ball and you just go, then you dust one guy, two guys. You're going to get at least one or two guys to come over and try to stop you because you're that good, which means you've got now dishing opportunities. You've got the ability to pass and lead to some of the hockey assists that the Celtics never get. This is the Tatum that we want so badly. And that's why I want to highlight this, because he's so damn good. And now I know that he's been tired, like he's been gassed. I told you in that Pacers game, he was gassed. And he's probably still feeling the effects of COVID, still. But he playing like this changes so much about the Celtics. Changes a lot about the Celtics. So I just hope we see more of it. I hope to see more of you listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Now, I can't actually see you listening, but I can see the listener numbers. And if those go up, that means that, yes, I have seen you listening. So please, if you're new, subscribe to the show. That means you're going to get this show Monday through Friday delivered directly to your device. If you are a regular listener, first of all, I appreciate that. Thank you. Love you for it. Give me that 5-star rating. Give that written review, because it's so, so helpful. The more good reviews that this show has, the more likely people who stumble on it are going to listen to it. So please do that and share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.